Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. And so I'd just like to encourage you to go ahead and get a pen and paper so you can take notes at the end of the ministry. We will receive questions or comments so that we can all grow thoroughly in the thing that God is presenting to us. So if you would just join your heart with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get started in the word today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit, that healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, we want to get back to Abounding Grace, Part 3. And again, this is just one of those things that God is asking us to grow in, to function in, because grace is where our victory is released from. Grace is the power of God. The abundant grace of God is the resident power of God extended toward us to the intent and purpose that it would meet every challenge and cause victory, number one. Again, we're going to make sure that you get this. This is what we want to use. Grace is not for my mistakes. Grace is my empowerment, okay? Grace is what God is asking us to use, to utilize, to execute. Because when we do it by grace, there's a couple of things that happen. When we do it by grace, then it's not about our might or our willpower, okay? See, well, I would like to get that into our understanding that God is asking us to submit to him, to draw nigh unto him. or the way he says it, is that if you will draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto you. He'll give grace to the humble. So he's wanting us to participate in grace from a different perspective, okay? Grace is how we should get it done. That's why Jesus was full of grace and truth. His very introduction started out with us understanding it was about grace. Okay? That's what it says in John chapter 1. Okay, just so that you can kind of see that, turn over there. I just want you to see these things, and you kind of mark them in your heart, in your thinking, so that when you apply the word, you will apply the word from the same position. You know, if you start correctly, you can end correctly. But if you start at a different position, I don't know what the end of that would be. See, if you're going to take shortcuts, then you're going to end up short. Okay, let's just start that, y'all. Come on, that was just good. If you're going to try to take shortcuts, you're going to end up short. Amen. God has no greater joy than to know that his children walk in truth, not walk in shortcuts. Okay? So we'll say it this way. If the grace was necessary for Jesus to get the things done that had to be done by the Father's dictate, then surely we should walk in the same steps that he walked in. There are preordained steps that we should walk in, steps that release glory and take us to glory. Okay? Does it not say we're supposed to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory? We're supposed to start from the place of victory where glory resides and take that glory to the place where people will speak about the glory that has been released in our life. Men will see your good works and they will glorify. They will talk of this glory. They will glorify God. Okay? We are coming into a season where the more glory that we can release, the more people we will cause to become thirsty and enter into this rest. I mean, if you want to know one of the reasons why, according to Scripture, now, this is according to Scripture. This is not a Stevie 1-1. The reason why more people are not being added to the church daily, it is God's will that they would be added to the church, but we haven't displayed the grace and the glory that God has asked us to. The church is supposed to be known as the pillar and ground of the truth. But what we see today is we see people making it up as they go, saying that that God has some kind of way changed in how he executes a thing. A dispensation of grace does not mean a separate move of God. Okay? Please understand that. A dispensation of grace is not a separate move of God. Everything he does it the same. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. See, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His thoughts that he thinks towards us are thoughts of peace. They're thoughts that will cause us to be able to enjoy the good that he's already released toward us. See, he's not making this up as he goes. His word is forever settled in the heavens. So then it is our responsibility to understand how to walk in that which is settled, those preordained steps. I mean, it would just be wise, I believe it would just be wise of us to walk in the steps that are guaranteeing our victory, as opposed to walking in frustrations, anxieties, and fears, and somehow calling that the will of the Lord that should come to pass at another time. Jesus didn't walk in question. I heard this the other day, and I've said it, but it just really blew me away, because the devil came in at the beginning and asked a question that messed up the position of heart that the man should walk in. The devil came with this information and asked Adam a question and said, "Hath God said?" So up until that point, Adam was walking in the perfect will of God, not trying to find out if it was so. He was causing it to be so because of what he did. When you walk in the thing that you are ordained to walk in, there are no questions necessary. All right, let's go in a natural version so that we can see it. How many of us went to breathing school? Not a single one of us. There was a strike that hit our bottoms, and the next thing you know, there was an awakening that happened, and we started hollering and breathing. The breathing, come on, y'all, just look at this. The breathing changed because in the amniotic sac, we were not breathing oxygen. Okay? We were surrounded by fluid. Amen. So then when we were taken out of the fluid, things had to be done in a different dimension. It was still you. You had the same life that you had before, but now the supply of that life, the grace for that life, was found in a different place. When you were in your mother's womb, the grace for your life was connected to her. But then when you came out of the womb, the grace was now standing alone. Amen. So then that's what we need to do. We need to understand what he's doing because of his word. I was just looking at this in Ezekiel chapter 16. I think it's verse 5, 6, and 7, and 8, where he said he saw us polluted in our own blood, and he spoke to us. He said to us, in our blood live. He gave a word when we were at our worst state and condition. And the word was live. Amen. And then Jesus came and he said, the reason I'm here is so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. Again, he's saying to us in the bad situation, live. And I guess what we do in our thought process is we try to live from the position of a pre-existing condition instead of living in our now condition. See, that's one of the things that he's asking us to grow up. He's asking us to process things from a different heart position, one that is totally connected and surrendered to him, one that does not have to function in pride but can function in humility because he gives grace to the humble. John chapter 1. And I said that Jesus started, our introduction to Jesus was one that brought in grace from Jump Street. Okay? That's what we want to just kind of see, understand, and function, because we've been doing it backwards. So let's look at what he says. I'm just going to start from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Okay, y'all, we're going to dissect again. He said, where is my life? In him. It has always been in him. Amen. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. In him. Please notice, it did not say around him. It said in him. See? So then when you want to experience the victory that he has made available for you, he just told you where it is. Our life is hid in him. See, I want you to get these connections. Paul got this connection early. And then he started walking it out day by day by day. And then we speak of him as the aged Paul, the one that has already finished his course, because he understood how God wanted him to walk. See, we're still going around trying to get a question asked, answered that we didn't need to get answered. The devil asked Adam, hath God said? Asked Eve first, hath God said? And then he said, well, no, see, this is what you understand. If God wanted you to do that, he would tell you to do some things like this, that, and the other. Because if you do this, that, and the other, more than what he told you to do, then you'll be like him. Even though we were created in his image, after his likeness. See, there are no questions necessary. My destiny was already in him. My life was already in him. The way I understood my existence as I was coming up, that my life was hid in my Father. Because everything that I needed, my food, my financing, it came from my Father. So God keeps that same construct from the beginning to the end. My life came from the Father. When God said, let us make man in his image, after his likeness, my life came from the Father. See? The way that it came to me, it says that it was created by Jesus. Got no problem with that. But it was framed by a word. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. And we understand by faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. See, the way it was created is a different position of understanding than the way it was framed. See, everything, according to what we just read, everything starts with the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was the beginning with God, and all things, say it with me, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made, because this is where life came from. This is the pathway of life right here. Okay? And I'm trying to get your heart to align again with where life starts so that you can enjoy what he's already done. You can stop trying to get God to do something if you understand that he said it's finished. Glory to God. He took us back, if you would, in the spirit to where things are now finished. God in heaven, this is good. Where things are now finished before they start. Did he not tell us that he is the Alpha and the Omega? He is the beginning and the end. Wow. See, if I go back to the beginning, oh, come on, y'all, please understand this. If I go back to the beginning, I just established my end. Whew. Wow. I can remove all of the questions and issues in my life if I would simply go back to the beginning and live from the place where the origin starts, where Genesis took place. Whew. Wow, y'all. I mean, this is how simple it really is. You want to remove all of the frustration. Go back to the beginning. Because in the beginning, if you would, Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22, that is the perfection that God wants us to live in. From Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation chapter 21, yeah, to chapter 20, it's all goofy, messed up, confused. But it was not so in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. Because God said things about life and what he had created that we need to remember. He didn't say it was good. He said it was very good. Amen. Amen. See? So then I need to go back to the beginning, because as I go back to the beginning and function from the beginning the way its inception was, then I'll be able to enjoy what the inception was all about. That's your therefore. Okay. So I go back to that place, and then I function from a heart's position of belief that that which he spoke was all that was necessary. I didn't have to add anything to it. You do remember the book of Revelation tells us that if we add to the book of the prophecy, then we're going to things are going to be messed up. If we take away from the book of the prophecy, things are going to be messed up. And in our own thinking, in our own understanding, as we lean to that, we start adding to or subtracting from. And then we end up in the issues that we end up in. Rather than doing what he said, let's listen to this. We're still in John chapter 1. Because he said nothing was made that was not made by him. Near anything. That maybe you should highlight, circle, and underline some of these things. All things were made by him, and without him. So come on, y'all, just look at this. I'm just reading. He said, without a word, there was nothing that could be made. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And all things are made by the Word. And without the Word, nothing. No thing. See? So it has no possibility. In Colossians it says that all things consist by him. That in him fullness should dwell. It pleased the Father. Come on, y'all. Since God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he was pleased when he made it because in him everything existed. He has the preeminence. It has to have a word in order to be here, according to John chapter 1. All things were made by the word, and without the word was not anything made that was made. So then it would be probably wise for us to find out what word has been spoken, maybe in error by us, in agreement with the enemy that's trying to destroy us. We need to find out what that word was. It had to have license, because without the word, nothing is made. See, God made us a speaking spirit. So then because we don't understand how to function correctly, that's why he told us, please, bring into captivity every thought until that thought obeys Christ. Because when you have a thought that obeys Christ, now your words are sanctified. Amen. Now you can declare and decree a thing, and it will be established unto you. But without your words being sanctified, you're going to continue to spew out poisons. Jesus told us, don't get it confused. Whatever you say, that's what you can have. If you would speak to this mountain and not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you sayeth will come to pass, you will have whatsoever you sayeth. These are principles that God set in place from Jump Street. It pleased him that in the word fullness would be. And Jesus gave you the right and authority to utilize his word by proxy. He tried to warn us over and over again. He told us in Matthew chapter 12, by your words are you justified, by your words are you condemned. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth talks, it speaks. So then everything that happens, happens because of the words. Without him, the word, there was nothing made that is made. Beloved, I have given you enough to impact your world from now on. Just in one passage of scripture, we have found answers to the things that we need to resolve in our lives so that we can enjoy good at God's hand. This is what he wants for us. He's always wanted this for his man. Come on, y'all. I am the Lord thy God, I change not. This is always what he's wanted. This is, if you would, as it says in Ephesians, this is the eternal purpose that he purposed in Christ Jesus. Eternal purpose. Hallelujah. He made his man, come on, y'all. He made his man and told his man, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, replenish, have dominion. He did not tell his man go through trouble. He did not tell his man go through hell. I'm sorry, that's not what he told him. He told his man, have dominion. I've made you this way. I made you and created you so that you would enter into life from the position of rest. That was the first thing man saw. Man did not see toil first. He was introduced to rest first. God made man. The next thing he did is God rested from all his works. So then that says that the man entered into the rest that God created after everything else was made for the man. This has always been God's plan. Always. We are the crowning achievement of the thought that he thinks towards us. We are that crowning achievement. But we keep going to the place of asking the question, has God said? And I hadn't heard it until maybe about a week and a half ago when my pastor said this, and he was just quoting scripture, and he asked the question that Jesus asked, because they were asking Jesus questions of what's this mean and what that mean, and Jesus' response was, have you not read? Oh, that just blew me away. Because the devil asks, what did God say? Hath God said? And Jesus' response was always, that which was written. Come on, mount of temptation. Jesus said it a different way. You can literally say, have you not read, when you say, it is written. That is the exchange that God wants us to take place in. Have you not read? Have you not understood? Did you not hear from God this that would cause your liberty? So whenever you're facing an issue, have you not read? Have you understood that which was already spoken? Because nothing was made that was not made by the word, that which was spoken. I mean, beloved, let's just get that. We can end all frustrations, worries, and fears by speaking what has already been spoken. What was written? Have you not read? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Have you not read? See? Is there not a rhema word in your heart? Have you not read? See? When you see the entrance of his word gives light, it gives understanding. Have you not read? I mean, I'm trying to give you the picture of where your victory is every time, all the time, because God set it up from Jump Street just like that. In the beginning was the word. And without the word was not anything made that was made. In the word was life. So then if the word brings life, has life, had life, it still has it. So, I mean, I know we hear these things, know these things, but we haven't grasped them to the point where we handle them. Day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. And this light, this life, come on, y'all, come on. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Whew. I mean, do you see this? He said, in him was life, and that life was light to men. My whole life comes out of that light. In him was life, and that life is what's supposed to illuminate me. Okay, come on, come on. When I see this, he says that the life causes me to understand what I need to do, when I need to do it, how I need to do it. The life causes me to get that. See? Because it was in him. Because it is in him. Song that I used to sing, and it was Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. See? In him. That's where my life is, and as I go to the place where my life is, my illumination will come to me. My revelation will come to me, and because it's a revelation from the Father, Jesus said he's going to build his whole church upon this revelation from the Father, and because he's building that revelation upon the rock of my life that he is, he says, the gates of hell cannot even prevail against that. I mean, he's guaranteeing me victory from Jump Street. Because there was nothing made that was not made by the word, and that life is my light. My dad used to run around the house singing a song all the time, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Just quoting Psalms 27. And so since the Lord is my light, he just told us here, the Lord is my life. And that life is my light. Amen. I mean, this is just good stuff. See, the grace of God is the resident power of God extended toward us with the intent and purpose to meet every challenge and cause victory. Everyone. See? So this is not a sometime situation. This is a guarantee right here. And he says, this thing is, oh, come on, y'all, come on, come on. Whew. Just look at this. He said that this life, which causes light, shines in darkness. Oh, my God. That's just so good. This life. I mean, get the track here, if you would. It starts with life. And then the life produces in you. Life that you participate in produces light. The Bible says that, I think it's Psalm 78, that light arises for the righteous. Why? Because life is in the righteous. So since life is in the righteous, light arises for the righteous. Amen. Notice he doesn't want me to stay in darkness trying to live. He said this light that arises shines into darkness. Why? What happens? Okay, y'all, let's just ask a question. What happens when light shines into darkness? Darkness leaves every time, all the time. When you come into a room and you turn on the light switch, darkness leaves. Amen. So he says that this life that you accept when you make him Lord, is going to shine into the darkness that you were living in prior to. And because the life is there, now you can enjoy what he's going to reveal to you. Light is going to arise for you. He didn't say it was going to arise out of you. He said it's going to arise for the righteous. He's going to give you an unstoppable process because life has taken place. Come on, y'all. Because life has taken place, light is unstoppable. Oh, you want to write that down. That's just good. Because life has taken place, light is unstoppable. And when you have light, you can now walk while you have the light. I mean, this is just loaded here. He's making it so easy for us to win because he always causes us to triumph. He gives us the victory. Why? Because life has already happened once you made Jesus Lord. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, to the full, nothing missing, nothing broken. See, this is what we've been invited into. I mean, we've just been invited to the victory. Talk about party over here. My God, my God. That's why we should live out of rejoicing. Come on, y'all. Because we are the ones with the victory. I am not the one with the challenge. I am not the one with the frustration. I am the one with the victory. Amen. So because I have the victory, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath, past tense, redeemed from the hand of the enemy. See, I'm the one with the victory. I'm the one that should practice permanent rejoicing. How do I say permanent rejoicing? Because he said, rejoice in the Lord always and again, I say. That is permanent rejoicing. Amen. There is not a place in there for defeat. Glory to God. I win all the time. Can't help it. Am I challenged? Yes. But the victory is guaranteed. God has a record of whatever and zero because he said, before I even got started, he said, my word will not return to me void. My victory is guaranteed. Jump street. I just need to go back to understand what he has communicated to me from the very beginning. In the beginning was the word, and this word was life. And out of that life came light. See? And so then I'm doing I'm doing exactly what happened as creation was unfolding. God said, he spoke into darkness and said, me be. He said, light be. Or the way you read it in King James, let there be light. Me be. Amen. And wherever you go, life goes. As we are, so is he in this world. We go about and establish life. We go about and release life. That's why he told us to do something. Life requires us to do this. He said, make disciples. Come on, y'all. That's life happening. Ooh, glory to God. See, this is what he's expecting us to do. Go and cause life to happen. Because as you cause life to happen, this life will be the light of men. And this light then will shine into darkness. Glory to God. I mean, everybody, your whole family, isn't that what he just told you? He said that if you be saved, your whole household will be saved. Why? Because if you have life, I'll use that life to cause everybody to be able to live off of the light that that life produces. Your whole house shall be saved. He said, ask me and I'll give you the heathen for an inheritance. You ask me because you are alive and I will cause everyone around you to be able to be alive. Because life begets life. like begats light. Go and make life happen. Glory to God. I mean, I just canceled your mully grubs. They just canceled. Because in the beginning was the Word. And because the Word had life in him, that life becomes light that's commanded to shine into darkness. Me, be. Glory to God. And then here's the problem. Notice in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and it didn't leave because the darkness did not comprehend it. The light is still present. Amen. The Word is still here. In the beginning, the Word was here. Didn't leave. It's forever settled. Did not leave. If it's not believed, it will not be utilized, but it didn't leave. Okay, come on. If you are here and you hold your breath and choose not to breathe, is the atmosphere that's necessary for you to live still here? Yes, it is. But because you didn't utilize it, because you decided to rebel and not breathe, you're going to make the experience difficult. But the life is still here. The stuff you need to supply is still here. That's why he says stuff to us like, let everything that have breath praise. Why? Because the ability to win is connected. Ooh, my Jesus. The ability to win is connected to your ability to breathe. Hallelujah. I hope you got that. Your ability to win is connected directly to your ability to breathe. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. See, God has made this thing so one-sided, so guaranteed. But we don't enter into the guarantee because we keep trying to deal with the question, hath God said? And the answer is, have you not read? It is written. See, and as you perpetually do that, then you enter into the place where your guaranteed perpetual victory can be seen by everybody. Because the life is going to produce light, and that light shines into darkness. Whew. Oh, beloved, come on, let's just take the steps that he's ordained. These are preordained steps that you should walk in. He made it easy. That's what he said. Come on now. Come on. My burden is light. What I carry around is light. I cause a revelation. That's what I carry around. My yoke is easy. I'm going to try to get to that verse today. My foundation scripture has already changed. I was not going to John chapter 1. But as you can see, if we go back to the beginning, everything that we would ever need is found in the beginning, and it should be used until we get to the end. There was a song again in my generation, same thing it took to get your baby hooked is going to take the same thing to keep her. Well, that's the same way the world functions. Whatever it started on with, that's what it's going to need to continue. Don't put something else in place of what started it. That would be making a counterfeit. Oh, good God, that's a good word, sir. If I put something in there other than what was there original, I am now putting something that's counterfeit. I'm trying to force a fit in there because that's not the fit that was original. It's a counterfeit. I hope you saw that. It might be, so this is what the devil does all the time. He gives you something like what God gave you. See? God did not give you something like. He gave you the original. He invited you into that which was perfect, that which was very good. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. He has not changed his mind. This is what he wants for his man. This is the way it was in the beginning. So go back to the beginning, find the life in the beginning, and the life that's in the beginning will cause the light to shine in the dark situation that you find yourself in right now. All we need is a word from God, because the word from God is life and has light in it to shine in my darkness. I mean, really, y'all, that I can't say it no more time. I can't say it any easier. There it is. I keep repeating it because we need to hear it and think about it from that perspective. God, Jesus said it's finished. He didn't say I'm going to start another thing. It's already done. So it would behoove us to find out what was done. Find out how it was done. Go back to the beginning. Because whatever he used in the beginning, okay, these are the eternal purposes. I'm talking about the eternal purpose. Whatever he used in the beginning is the same thing he's going to use in the end. Amen. Amen. That's why Jesus was able to now sit down at the right hand of the throne of the Father, because he did what was done in the beginning, and there's nothing else needed to be done. He reinstated everything. Again, these are the things. You can see the typology. When Jesus came back, and in John chapter 20, he told them to receive the Holy Ghost. And when he had said these words, the Bible says he breathed on them. Why? Because that's what started man from the beginning. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Come on. And so then Jesus started the whole process over and breathed life into the man. Amen. So then, with that being said, come on, y'all. Since God breathed life into the man and everything that the man needed was in that breath, Jesus came back, did it again, and breathed into man the breath of life, and everything that man needed was in that breath. Glory to God. Whew. So then when we begin to process the information from there, see, I don't leave needing a thing. See? When I go to God, he said, when we go to the throne of grace, we're going to obtain and receive. I don't go to the throne of grace and just get a catch. Maybe see if I can catch a goosebump. That was not his intent. When I come out of God's presence, I should be one that understands how to live, because that's what I found in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is life forevermore. Come on, y'all. See? He's wanting me to leave his presence fully alive. And generally, the way that that happens best is if I have expectation that when I come, I will receive and obtain, then I can leave with that life that he imparted. If I'm going to him with questions and accusations, then I'm not going to leave with life. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And that light shine into darkness. That light shined into void. Come on now. Look at the Genesis picture. The earth was void. That light shined into void. It shined into empty. So then, if there is lacking, empty in your life, let life shine in. Bring light. See? As we do that, I mean, we begin to then enjoy the thing that we were created for. And he said he wanted us to richly enjoy all things. I don't know. He didn't say or set the standard of richly according to the exchange system of the world. He left it up to me. And then he said, I can enjoy all things. Ooh, glory to God. I mean, again, I do understand that some of this might sound strange to you, but all of this is 100% scripture. I do my best not to add anything to it. I just speak what thus saith the word of the Lord. And then we can go and say, wait a minute, I hadn't heard it in this wise before. That didn't mean it wasn't true. That just means I didn't hear it. Amen. Because according to scripture in Romans chapter 10:17, faith just came by hearing. Illumination just came by hearing. Because he spoke into darkness. He spoke into the void. And there was nothing that the void can do to move it. Even though the void did not comprehend it, it stayed, it yet remained. Amen. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. John was only bearing witness of the light. He was not the light. He was to bear witness of the light. To let us know that there was light there. There had to be an agreement of two. So John became the agreement of two, so that the word can be established now. He was to bear witness of that light. And that light was the true light, which, I love it, verse 9, this light is the true light, and this light enlightens or lightens every man that comes into the world. He didn't say most men. He didn't say religious men. He said this light lightens every man. Glory to God. That got your cousin them, Bubba them. He said every man. Hallelujah. See, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He's not willing that any should perish. So he's going to make sure that the light enlightens every man. It doesn't matter the gross darkness. This light that shines into the darkness shines in. He knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraint. He's able to deliver to the uttermost. Glory to God. I don't care what mess your cousin him in. This light right here lighteneth every man. So I don't care how much you might have judged them as being unholy and unsavable. God says, no. I got something for them. This light lights every man. So that there we are with excuse. We can't have an excuse there, can we? Well, they didn't explain it the right way. No. He didn't leave it up. See, yeah, come on. He didn't even leave it up to. We have the job of perfecting, but he has the job of drawing. He's not willing that any should perish. We have the ability to do the sandpaper so that it can become a polished effect. All we're supposed to do, according to the scripture, is lift him up, because he said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will then draw all men unto me. See, our job is to polish. Our job is to perfect. Our job is to strengthen. To settle, his job is to draw. but he hasn't had the ability to draw because we haven't been in place to cause people to see good works. They see frustrations in our lives. He didn't say that's what would draw them. He said they would see good works. They would see answers. Amen. See, we've been sitting there with the we put the cart in front of the horse. And the only thing that's going to do is you got to feed that horse. But if you put the cart behind the horse, then the horse can move the cart. You can get to destination that way. Otherwise, you're just going to be full and fat. You're going to waste all of your supply. Because your supply never made it to its destination, because you had the horse in, you had the cart in front of the horse, and with that dilemma, all you're gonna do is feed that horse. But if you put the cart behind the horse, now you can move, and the horse will draw the cart to the next location. I can finally hear the words "well done," not the words "undone." Light is every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. Glory to God. He gave them power to become. And it says, even to them that do what? Believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The introduction to Jesus was an introduction to grace and truth. He was full of it because that's what was needed and necessary to bring to pass the will of God. It has been said that the will of God will not take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. So then, if you're going to produce the results God wants in his will, it's going to happen by the grace of God. The abundant grace is God's resident power that he extended toward us to the intent and purpose to meet every challenge and cause victory. Oh, that's point one. I've just been trying to go back and get you to understand this is what the grace is for. It was never for my mistake. The grace of God is for my future. Come on, y'all. Glory to God. The grace of God is for my future. The Bible says that Jesus tasted death by the grace of God. Amen. Paul says it this way, I am what I am because grace is involved. That was not a statement to excuse this, that, or the other. That was a statement of my future being executed, being lived out because grace is at work in me. I am what I am because grace is alive. Grace is understood. Because grace is there, it's the resident power of God extended toward us to the intent and purpose to meet every challenge and cause victory. I don't need to give you a piece of my mind. I need to release the grace and glory of God. Hallelujah. Because as I release the grace and glory of God, the things that I'm facing change. Okay? Turn to, wow, true that, sir. Wow. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Wow. Wow, that's good, sir. Oh, I hadn't thought of that. That's good, sir. Wow. I said the grace and glory of God is there to effect change to every situation. God, this is good. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Wow. Wow. Whew. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to go straight into chapter 4. I was going to chapter 4 and quote the end of chapter 4, but I saw the grace and the glory in chapter 3, and that ties it together. Because, see, we've been trying to use the grace of God for my mistakes and not even coupling it with the glory of God. Because when I couple the grace of God and the glory of God, then it's going to affect change according to Scripture. Let's read it. Let's see it. Wow. Verse, the whole chapter is just, study it out. The whole chapter is setting this up. He wants this glory and grace to be alive in your heart, not from a fleshy position. For as much, verse 3, as you are, we are manifestly declared to be epistles of, you are declared to be the epistle of Christ. You're declared to be the writing, the message that they're supposed to hear. You are declared to be that. Paul calls you that. And he's wanting you to go and live the life that the declaration again can be made. They will see your good works. They will glorify God. You are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but written by the Spirit of the living God. Not on the tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. He wants the word to be alive, to be malleable. Didn't it say, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten, as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth? He wants that same exchange of glory to be seen, tangible. It says in 1 John, we've handled the word of God. Okay? It dwelt among us. It became tangible, fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to Godward. Not that that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. This is still the way it works. It's not about us. It's all about him. See, our sufficiency is released this way. If I don't set it up and release it this way, then my sufficiency is of ourselves, who also made us. The sufficiency is of God, who made us able ministers. Come on, y'all. He's needing this process to be executed day by day. So then we can say that if the heathen don't see it in you, they cannot reproduce it in their life. We've got to make them thirsty so they can reproduce it. Well, let's start this way. We've got to make them thirsty so that they will desire it so that they can reproduce it. Those are the steps. Follow me as I follow Christ. We've got to make them thirsty. We've got to make them hungry because we walk in truth. See, it didn't say we walk in questions. We walk in truth. Who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But the manifestation of death that was written and engraven in stones, he said, notice what he says in verse 7. He said, the ministration of death, the Ten Commandments, the Old Covenant, it was written and engraven in stones, but it still was glorious. Pick that out of there. It was still glorious. So then I asked the question, is your life displaying the glory that's necessary? He commanded the light to shine out or to shine into the darkness. They should see the glory. Amen. So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. Why? For the glory of his countenance. And he says this glory was going to be done away with. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For the ministration of condemnation, if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Come on, y'all. He's wanting us to get the work done because we have a righteousness that exceeds in the use of this glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by the reason of the glory that excels. Come on, I want you to know you have been given, called into, to participate in a glory that excels. There is no way that the man around you can't get saved because this glory lightens every man. This is, you're connected to the glory that excels. Amen. See, we haven't let our light so shine. Because when you let our light so shine, that's because you understand that it excels in glory. For that which is done away be glorious, much more that which remaineth. Come on, y'all. He just said it does what? He said it remains. This glory does not run out. This glory remains. The ones that are operating out of the New Testament spirit, that's a glory that remains. So then if you've been trying to make people do things out of the law, that's the glory that was done away. Come on, y'all. You have a glory that excels and a glory that remains. He's giving you the twofer. Glory to God. See, you've got a two-edged sword. And that two-edged sword should be in your mouth. It should be in the place of, God, I love you. It should be in the place of released confidence. That's your mouth. The place of released confidence. Whew. Wow. Yeah, you might want to write that one down. That was just good. Your heart lets your mouth release the place of confidence. The glory that remains, the glory that excels. For if that which is done away is glory, was glorious, much more, come on, y'all, much more. God. He has taken impossible and thrown it away because you just ran into much more. You are connected to El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. He's more than enough to get your family saved. He's already promised the salvation of your family. He's already seen that in Christ Jesus being fulfilled. For in him all of us live. In him all of us move. In him all of us have our being. Seeing then, we went into that all last time. It's going to come up again here. He's asking us to see from this position. Seeing then. See, it's not seeing past tense. It's seeing from that perspective. Seeing then. Use it in the perfect present tense. Okay. He didn't say having seen. He said seeing. That puts it in the perfect present tense, doesn't it? See, we read it and think that God is talking backwards. But no, he's speaking into the grace of God and the glory of God is for my destiny. And I see then. I see active destiny. See? I see then. Not only do I look at this. Seeing then, and I see I have such hope. Ooh, come on, y'all. I just don't have hope. I have such hope. Faith is the evidence of things in my future. Such hope. And it causes my speech to be different. I use great plainness of speech. I can speak of then because it's my now. I don't speak of my then as if it's never going to happen. I have such hope because I see then. Not the way Moses talked, and he had to put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. See, the children of Israel didn't, because of what was happening, they were only looking at Moses. Mm-hmm, they were only looking at Moses as the only one that could do it. They didn't see then. They saw him in that past tense thought process. They didn't know it was for them. See, God is that. Moses is the one that said this. Glory to God. Moses is the one that said, I wish that y'all were all prophets. Amen. He wanted all of them to be prophets. God took of the spirit that was on him and put it on the others. Why? Because God was interested in the same thing. He wanted all of them to be prophets. And they were so busy. No, you go talk to God, and whatever you say, that's what we'll do. They didn't see then. Maybe they just saw that. Amen. Because when I see then, I understand that. But if I see that, all I'm looking at is that. Whew. But their minds were blinded, for until this day there remaineth the same veil untaken away. I'm not using grace for what it was intended for. I'm not using grace for my destiny. I'm using grace for my mistakes. Because my mind is blinded. The same veil is untaken away. But even to this day, when the Old Testament is read, the veil is on their heart. They do not look for the glory to be released in their future. They're trying to get the glory to cover up their mistakes in the past. Grace is not for your past. Grace is for your destiny. Grace is the resident power of God extended toward us with the intent and purpose to meet every challenge and cause victory. But nevertheless, if they will turn, when they turn to the Lord, when they have a different direction, when they leave differently, when they stop leaving with a veiled heart, full of unbelief, frustrations, and worries, when they leave differently, then the veil no longer covers potential. It no longer covers destiny. The veil will be taken away. Now, the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He didn't say they will be. It says there is liberty. Seeing then. Now, the Lord is that spirit. Not now the Lord will be that spirit. Not even now the Lord wants to be that spirit. Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the spirit of the Lord. So you see, he's asking us to look with an open face, with expectancy. Okay, let's do it this way. He said, looking with an open face, I see expectancy in that. I see Christmas morning when you was young in that. Looking with an open face. Possibility is alive. Destiny is still active. Looking with an open face. I'm not covering my eyes trying to be surprise. I want to see all of it. Christmas morning. Ain't slept all night. Can't wait for Christmas morning to get here. birthday time, open face. I'll even go further with an open face. Come here, y'all. Come here. Come here. An open face would also require an open mouth. Hallelujah. Amen. Making proper releases of faith. An open face. My eyes are open. My mouth is open. My heart is open. And that threefold cord is not going to be easily broken. And notice what I'm looking at. He said, with an open face, I'm looking at glory. I'm beholding glory. Why? Because that's what's going to cause me to change. Woo! I hope you see this. That's what's going to cause me to change. I'm going to have the effective change in my life through the situation that darkness has now been commanded, light has been commanded into that situation. Now I can expect the glory of God to make the difference, to make the change. See, I don't live in my frustration. I don't live in my fear. I'm looking unto glory. That's what I'm beholding. There is no possibility that I cannot. I'm not looking at I cannot. I'm not looking at I can't, shouldn't, won't. I'm looking at I'm about to because he said. I'm looking at glory. I'm looking full in his wonderful face. And then the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Keeping my eyes upon Jesus, looking unto him, he's the author and finisher, developer of my faith. When I'm looking at him, he's working on developing the process in my heart so that I cannot quit. I will not relent. When I'm looking unto him, he's working the things together for my good. With an open face, expectancy, confession, and live faith. Verse 1 of chapter 4, seeing, therefore, because of this, see from that position, understand from that position, we have this ministry because we have received mercy. We don't faint. See, this is why I'm guaranteed the victory, because I'm looking from this perspective. I'm understanding from my destiny's position of speech. I have a destiny's position of speech. Guaranteed results. I'm not speaking wannabes. Glory to God. I am not speaking wannabes. I'm speaking guarantees. Hallelujah. Therefore, seeing I have this ministry, I've received mercy, I don't faint. Amen. But I renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. I stop walking in craftiness, trying to trick people in God. I don't handle the word of God deceitfully. My heart has full assurance of faith, not partial assurance of faith. I'm no longer using sloppy agape. I'm using this accurately, skillfully. I'm the one that diligently seeks God. And if I diligently seek him, he said he will reward those that diligently seek. I'm not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, by what is alive on the inside of me. Jesus came here and he was full of grace and he was full of truth. So he didn't handle the word of God deceitfully. And to anyone that believed him, to them he gave the power to become sons. And the same exchange happens when I walk as a son, when I don't handle the word of God deceitfully. Starting with their salvation. Because as they are saved, they have the ability to believe higher and greater. As they are renewed in the spirit of their mind, they have the ability to have manifestation of the truth work for them. Commending ourselves to every man conscious in the sight of God. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. There is that exchange of light into that darkness again, isn't it? For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? So that the life of Jesus also might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, so that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. See, it's not a thing where I stop at death. I go through death to allow life to happen. I don't stop at trouble. I go through trouble to allow life to happen. I'm the one that releases life. Life be. Me be. But we are always delivered so that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, not another spirit, having this spirit, the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, we believe and therefore have we spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing something. That he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up by Jesus and present us with you. Why? Because all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, subject to change, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, he's asking us to participate in the flow of God from this position, seeing then, because I have great hope. I've got an abundance of the things that God has put inside of me. It is now coming out. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then I can have whatsoever I say. This is why we have abounding grace, not for my mistakes, but for my future to be walked out, lived out, and enjoyed because of his spirit. But the choice is yours. Which way will you choose? Will you continue to deny the grace of God that's able to keep you, that's able to establish, build you up, and give you an inheritance? Or are you going to allow that grace that elevates you? That's what he said. I commend you, brethren, to the word of his grace that's able to build you up. He said the word of his grace will cause you to be elevated. You don't have to stay down in the mully grubs. You can be elevated in thought, in mind, in spirit, in power. You can be elevated. And then from that position, you will operate and bring into manifestation untold victory that hasn't been seen, that the world is waiting for you to walk it out and bring to their understanding, bring to their desire and thirst victory. Praise, worship, and adoration. That's what the world is looking for. To the ones that believe him, them he gave the power to become sons. Power to call those things that be not as though they were. Power to make men want to come out of darkness because they've seen light exposed in your life. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you for the abundant grace, the abounding grace, the great grace that's upon us all, that causes us to enter into the victory and then release the victory in the lives of those that you've given unto us. Thank you that we'll turn it around for them by believing you through every situation, knowing that you are faithful that promised, and that you're not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. Thank you that you are equipping us, awakening us, so that we can function as sons and bring victory and glory to your name. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, amen, beloved. Again, I'd just like to thank you all for participating in the ministry, listening at the things that God has wanted us to grow up in, wanted us to execute in the earth. So as I said in the beginning, if you have any questions or comments, at this time we'll allow you to ask those questions and make those comments. Area code 678-906-3508. You have the phone call. You have the mic. Area code 678-906-3508. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? Amen. Amen. And again, it is my honor and privilege to be able to speak into your lives truths that should transform. And if God lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, please be obedient to do that, for it is a good soil here that we've allowed God to massage our hearts to the place where we can believe to turn it around for you and through you as you sow into the work of the Lord here. And so until the next time that we get together, I'll believe God to do what he said he would do. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his grace, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the faith, his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Until the next time when we gather next Monday, be blessed.